This is the Politically Non-Binary Podcast, and I'm your host, Ariel Isaac Norman. Every week, I have on a comedian or some other concerned citizen to confess a controversial opinion or two. Enjoy.
It does seem to be the ideal to, if you can get married, have a kid, divorce, but be amicable, and then you just have to split the kid.
I think probably remaining married is the ideal thing, but...
No, because then you got to have the kid the whole time.
Well, yeah, but you can go off and, you know, we can...
But ideally, both people get remarried. No one has any more kids. Now you've got four adults, one kid. Now that's a nice ratio.
That's true.
You just don't want to remarry someone who's already got another kid. Now you've ruined the whole thing.
Neither of us are remarried, I don't think. Yeah. I doubt that we will be, so he'll remain the center of attention.
Okay. That's good.
Which he knows, I think. Takes advantage of.
Yeah, that could be bad.
Are we rolling, by the
way? Maybe you should have another kid.
Oh, okay.
I just like to talk a little bit before we get into the whole...
Okay, yeah. That's cool.
You know, I don't like doing the whole welcome to...
I'm single and she's not remarried, so... Which is good because I grew up with a series of step families. And it's a difficult adjustment for a kid.
Yeah, you don't want things to keep changing.
Yeah. And then her parents were divorced, but neither of them remarried ever. And they remained amicable. So she's just basically kind of reproducing the situation that she had growing up with us, which it all works out well. I mean, everyone gets along.
Don't you think it maybe is better for the kid if the parents, you know, can be amicable but separate? And be happier than like being miserable while living together and then just leaving when, you know, I'm like, I don't really think that's better for the kid.
No, yeah. Keeping together a moribund marriage is not a good idea for the kid either, I don't think.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, the later part of our marriage was pretty bad. So, I mean, everything is better now.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, it's ideally on paper, I never wanted to get divorced, but, you know.
Yeah, no one wants to.
Right. But then looking at, I mean, things are a little bit better, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's to the point where like, but, you know, after we had been divorced for a little while and we were getting along fine, there was a period of time where our kid was like, why are you divorced? Like, why do we have to go back and forth between you get along? What's the deal? I mean, he was pretty little then.
Right.
But now he's used to it. And
you don't have to explain. Fine. Well, we just don't want to fuck each other anymore. We can't.
You don't live together.
Yeah.
Fuck anymore.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
There's too much tension.
Right. There's not enough oxytocin to deal with the tension.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of depression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've all been there. Well, do you want to introduce yourself to the audience?
Yes, my name is Mike McRae. I don't know where I'm supposed to be looking, but I'm a stand-up comic here in Austin, Texas, and I recently opened for you for your special taping. That was a lot of fun.
You've opened for a lot of great people.
I know. I'm an opener extraordinaire.
I feel honored that you opened for me, considering all the... Who else have you opened for? Give the people a little...
I mean, over the years, you know, I opened for Mike Birbiglia a lot, and Patton Oswalt for a while, and you know, a lot of shows at the Paramount. I'll open for comics there, but I do my own shit. I don't just open for people. You know, I get my own.
No, I just wanted to feel good. Like I look at the company I'm in. That,
exactly.
Thank you.
You're up there. A tear.
Take that, Patton Oswalt. Okay. Well, nice. All right. So, what's your controversial opinion?
Oh, so we launched right in. Okay.
Like we warmed it up.
Yeah, I want to frame this in a way that I don't get in trouble for it, obviously, but that's, you want that. You want something.
It'll be okay.
Salty. I guess I'll launch into it in this angle here. So I have a friend, she's a straight woman and her best friend is a gay dude who is a drag queen here in town. Mm-hmm. And they were hanging out one time, she told me, and he said to her, like, I could never say this in my own community, but I can say it to you. He's like, I don't get this thing with the kids, with the performing drag in front of kids. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get into this to entertain children. Mm-hmm. Like that's, to me, this is like a nightclub entertainment thing. And he said, it's like drawing all this negative attention. The community is suffering this blowback because of this.
Yeah.
And he said, and she told me that, and I felt weirdly vindicated because I had privately had that thought on my own. Or like, if I were a gay dude, I'd be like, what is this? Like, why are children? And my whole thing is not just about drag stuff. Like, I don't think it's a big deal. Like, I don't think these kids are in danger or whatever, but it's just like, I don't get it. Cause I always seem like that's like an adult form of nightclub entertainment.
Yeah.
And it just seems to be like, there are forces who are aimed at LGBTQ plus people we know about. These are the same people who got fucking Roe versus Wade overturned. And there just seems like there's a lot of things going on where they're just like, you know, you're in the crosshairs of this very powerful, fucking sinister part of American culture. But just as a bystander who's, you know, consider myself an ally to a certain degree, it's like, I don't know why are you guys doing this stuff?
Right. Like, we're making ourselves easy targets.
Yeah.
It almost, maybe I'll say that later. Yeah. Like, I, for the most part, yeah, people don't want to perform. Drag people don't really want to perform in front of kids, I think, any more than comedians do. Like,
yeah,
I would prefer, it makes us uncomfortable because we're going to do an adult act. It makes us uncomfortable to see children there. But it's the kind of thing where if a parent has brought their kid to this nightclub where they know that there's going to be comedy, like, all right, you're just going to, like, kid's going to learn some stuff. And so, yeah, but it's definitely, you know, because there are these bills now in various states that are saying, that are trying to,
they're trying to make it illegal to wear clothes that don't fit,
the clothes that aren't marketed to your genitals. Yeah. So there's that. And it's also like, yeah, it's really jeopardizing the careers of people who do drag because it might get criminalized if they're kids. So it's, you know, I don't understand why we couldn't just say, look, there's no, because I know we looked this up a few episodes ago because we actually had a drag queen. Do you know Ruby Diculous?
Yeah. Yeah. I went back and I saw that she had been on. Yeah.
Yeah. So she talked about this and I can't remember exactly what we found out because it's like, is this happening where drag queens are going to like schools or libraries and they're doing these events where the parents don't realize? Because if the parents know that they're taking their kids there, then I think it should be fine. But if I were the drag performer, just like as a comedian, like I'm still going to clean it up a little bit for the kid, or I'm going to consider how, you know, things should be done there. And, you know, I was thinking about it because I was just in Jersey City. We just did Jersey City Pride, and, you know, there were drag performances and there were some kids there. You know, it's 5 p.m. and, you know, and it is fairly sexual. And I remember thinking like this would get shut down and with some of those laws pass, you know, there's drag queens backing their asses up into people and stuff. And, you know, I'm like, maybe part of the problem is like, hey, parents, maybe don't take your kids.
Yeah, no, I mean, I it's clearly the parents are they're not like, I don't think drag people are like storming fucking where children are.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it is people bringing them, but it creates it. Like my friend, who's my age, she went to this, there was a Christmas drag show at like one of the larger theaters here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was advertised as all ages.
Yeah.
But it was very sexual. And my friend was telling me like there were kids there.
Right.
Like putting dollar bills in them and stuff.
And then I saw that too in Jersey City. And I'm like, I don't know about the kids with the dollar bills. And I think that's the thing. If you're going to advertise it as all ages, then you can't do the sexual stuff. I don't care whether you're straight or gay or wearing whose clothes.
And I think, well, yeah. And I think they're like, I've thought about this and read about it, but like, there seems to be this disconnect between about what is appropriate for children.
Right.
Like, I guess in these people's minds, since there's no actual sexual activity happening on stage, it's fine for kids to be there.
Right.
Where like, I'm just looking at this from a normie perspective.
Right.
And I am of the normie world and I know the normies.
Yeah.
And like, there's this sort of like silent retreating away. And I'm here to just say, like, I think, I'm not saying what people should or should not do. I'm just saying I think there's this silent effect where the movement is kind of losing people quietly.
Yeah.
And that's a shame. I don't want that to happen.
Right.
But you're not, people like me are not allowed to sort of say that that's going on.
That's why we're talking about it
and
here.
And I think, like, I'm saying this as someone who's on y'all's side.
Right.
Who does not want.
You don't want this huge pushback to happen.
Right. Know? Right. Exactly.
Backlash.
And I'm saying there's connective tissue there. And you're never going to win over the fucking haters, the evangelical Christians. Right. You're never going to win them over. But the sort of vast sea of like straight normies
normal
who are
people.
Confused by things or sometimes
normative,
they
people.
Can be swayed
right.
in a lot of ways where they're not going to say anything about it. But like you need them.
Yeah.
Just as like from a political strategy point of view.
Couldn't agree more.
Like a PR thing. And I've just seen this among people, like women my age, like silently being like, this isn't
I've
good.
Even been saying this about pride parades since I was, you know, for the last 15 years. Like there's some of this stuff where, you know, these pride parades, like once they become family events, it was one thing, like if it was just adult gay people going and we were wearing our thongs and hitting each other in our BDSM floats. But once it's a family thing, I'm like, what are we doing? You're throwing condoms at children now. Like,
yeah.
You know, literal children, not 16-year-olds.
And like twerking in their faces and teaching them to twerk and stuff like that.
Right.
These videos exist. They're out there. People are showing them on Twitter and stuff. And like regular people are seeing this and being like, what? I don't get that. This isn't. I don't like this.
There's a 40-year-old man.
Does that
man
make them bigots? Maybe. But like.
No, but exactly. We've really lost sight of reality in this culture, like in terms, like you said, about just what parenting should look like, what kids should be exposed to or not. I mean, I remember, you know, growing up Mormon, my parents, you know, had pretty strict rules about, you know, I couldn't see R-rated movies. I couldn't even really see most PG-13 movies. And, you know, I remember at a 13-year-old, a friend of mine's birthday party, they were showing American Pie and, you know, her parents were home and it was just like, and to me, I was scandalized. Like, I can't believe all of these 13-year-olds, 12 and 13-year-olds are just, like, this parent is just playing this R-rated movie about fucking a pie. And I really, like, it's not, I don't know how it affects kids. I was a very sexual kid, too, you know, like, it's, like, I, you know, just had my own, I wasn't having sex with other people, but, like, I masturbated from a very young age, and it's not that I was, like, yeah, thank you, you wouldn't believe how young, but it's not that I, you know, that's not okay for kids to have their own private sexuality, but to be introduced to adult concepts and jokes and things, like, I'm not really sure that is a good thing for kids. And
I skew in that direction a little bit.
Yeah. Like, I think we do need to become, okay, we pushed the pendulum. You know, the Christians took everything too far. We're too sex negative. But there's some value to not exposing kids to R-rated sex.
Yeah.
Or, and not to mention all the porn that they're now exposed to, too. That's the other thing. It's like,
I can't handle that.
And what do you do? It's like, okay, yeah, we want to not take them to these drag shows that are sexual, but then they're all just on Twitter and Tumblr and TikTok and everything, just seeing all kinds of pornographic or nearly pornographic things. I don't know.
Yeah, there's this, again, I'm trying to walk a fine line here because I don't feel that these people, whether it's a drag show or a pride parade or anything, I don't feel that they're trying to sexualize children. Like, they're not groomers or whatever, like you hear the rhetoric from the Matt Walsh type people or whatever.
Right.
But on the other side of that, but you can still look at that and be like, this is deeply unsettling to me.
Right.
Especially as a parent or whatever. And like, that's that. I think there's validity in that response to that. People are having it.
Oh, and everybody is being conditioned and learning socially whether someone is grooming versus just like that's we learn. That's how we mimic. We learn socially. And so it has the effect of some kind of grooming. It's just it doesn't take someone maliciously being like, I'm going to make your kids open to all kinds of crazy gender and sex shit. Like, it's just like, OK, well, if you expose your kids to 40-year-old men who are wearing, you know, these tights and have huge boobs and are shimmying and you're having them put dollars in their boobs, like, I don't know, that's going to have some kind of effect on them. I'm not really sure what, but we do know that, I mean, children are being confused right now at the same time, like in some school districts, especially in California, but I hear increasingly all over the country, and I see the children's books that they're giving, you know, the orthodoxy now on the left, and therefore in the education system, the public education system, is that you should teach kids, you just because you have a penis doesn't mean you're a boy. Just because you have a vagina doesn't mean you're a girl. You might be both or neither, either one or whatever. And, you know, children don't even have the idea of sex constancy down until somewhere between like 6 and 8 years old. Usually they think, you know, a 4 year old thinks that if a boy puts on a dress, he becomes a girl, for instance. So telling kids that at such young ages, you know, it's giving them this kind of crazy ideas, and then they can't really conceptualize what it means that to transition in the sense of like taking hormones and having surgery, that you don't actually become the opposite sex. So I think kids are just not prepared for these concepts. And so then if you're also throwing in these visual images of, you know, adults who are, it's not just, because again, like cross-dressing, what depends? Like, 40 years ago, wearing pants as a woman would have been considered cross-dressing.
Sure.
So I think it's okay. We should loosen up about, like, if some men just want to wear dresses, whether it's Harry Styles or whoever. Some men want to look certain ways, and I think that can be okay. It's just once it becomes, you know, drag is this hyper, it's inherently sexualized. You're inherently, just like a woman who, in fact, I saw like a female doing a drag queen thing the other day in Jersey City. But it's like this hyper sexualized kind of version. You know, you're just and sometimes women in general, you know, you're pushing your boobs up, you're rouging your cheeks, all these things to kind of make you look aroused, to make you look extra fertile.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when we're doing that and then you're having grown men do that and you're having kids put money in their waist, you're teaching them something about that it's so that to trust men who are dressed as women, like there's something going on.
There's
where
certainly the
not
patina of sexuality around the whole thing. You can't say like, oh no, this isn't sexual in nature. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, so we are definitely giving kids kind of a lot of strange messages about gender and sex and also sexuality, because kids do need to understand that they do need to be wary of men. Hashtag not all men are bad rapist people, but y'all are all kind of not trustworthy to some extent.
Trust any. Yeah. I'm a man who's a father, and I'm skeptical of men who want to actively be around children for some reason. Right.
Right.
Especially if they don't have children.
Right.
Like that's a normal and I think very justified.
Right.
And this includes, and I'm sorry, like there's this whole like, again, the vast majority of drag queens are totally harmless. But this idea of like no drag queen has ever wrong. I know several instances where some of these people who have been involved with children have been busted for child pornography.
Right. Well, there was recently, you know, several. Like there's drag queens, but it's like it's the same thing with trans women where there are plenty of trans women who genuinely just had this gender dysphoria, who felt like they're in the wrong body and mind system, and like and seem to be like, it really makes sense. Like some of them, you know, it really makes sense that they're like, they should live as women, and you know, and transitioning really helps them. And, you know, but then there are some who I think genuinely do have this paraphilia going on. And a lot of them, I think, have convinced themselves that they really are women. But I mean, there was one, the first trans woman who was elected to the New Hampshire state legislature. Did you see this story?
Yeah.
Yeah. It turns out, like, the first time she ran in 2010, it turned out that she had these prior convictions that she hadn't disclosed. And then so then she like resigned or something. And then she ran again in 2020 and then won. But then in 2021, she had to step down because she was brought up on stalking convictions. And then in June of this year, it turns out that she was distributing child porn, allegedly, but it looks, her girlfriend and she was working at some kind of child daycare place and was sending her pictures of. That's the problem, was once you start getting into this kind of stuff, it's like, I just know too much.
Yeah.
I just know too much. And so it's like the issue is the naivete involved in thinking that there won't be some men who will take advantage, when there have been some men who have taken advantage of Boy Scouts, of the Catholic Church, of most churches, of becoming a Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Of course they would become a woman. Of course there are some men who are going to become women in a predatory way.
Yeah, it's not a hermetically sealed thing. Right. We're like, okay, queer equals safe, like tautologically.
Right.
It's like, that's ridiculous to think that.
Exactly. It's like, we can't make these sweeping things. Believe all women, trans women are women, all these slogans. I'm like, you're that's not, you can't, there's nothing is 100% like that.
And there was a, there was an article that I just came out the other day about a drag queen performer who, and I'm like, again, I'm not, I'm just trying, I'm just showing like how, well, like you're saying, it's wrong to say just categorically, this is totally fine. She was involved in one of these boy drag queens, an 11-year-old doing drag, which is, this is a thing now, which is, again, just sort of unsettling to a lot of us.
How are you even in drag as a prepubescent kid? Like, you all look the same, you know, like, you haven't...
Well, they look like these weird Southern Belle, like, kitty
beauty things. Well, it's the same thing as those creepy JonBenet Ramsey
pageants,
too.
It's the same kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm, like, against all of it, yeah.
This boy drag queen had this other drag queen as a mentor, and this person got busted for child pornography.
Right.
After being, you know, fostering this kind of thing.
Anybody, I don't care if it's cross gender or same gender, you know, like I said, the JonBenet Ramsey kind of stuff. You see the little 5-year-olds who are done up in all that makeup, that again, the makeup is supposed to mimic sexual arousal and fertility. And so you see these kids in these like sexualized outfits and you're like, wait, what? Who snuck in? There's always pedophiles sneaking into everything.
Yeah. And that's wrong too, because people like who would argue with someone saying what I was saying, like, well, what about, you know, but it's okay to have these like Southern JonBenet.
No,
that's not.
I want to stop that too.
It's all fucked up.
It's the same thing I say about, you know, I have huge concerns about, you know, people taking synthetic hormones, especially as minors. But and they're like, well, people take, you know, birth control. I'm like, I'm against that, too. Birth control is horrible for women. And they don't tell you all the side effects, just like the doctors aren't telling all these kids who say that they're trans about all those side effects and all the issues you're going to have. They're not taking girls. Like my girlfriend has a thyroid issue and she got that. And then she comes to the doctor and they're like, oh, you have a thyroid issue. And she goes, I wonder where that came from. And he's like, oh, it's the birth control. He's like, you didn't tell me that when you prescribed me the birth control, that this could lead to this thyroid issue. Not to mention it dysregulates all of your like intuition and wisdom and pheromone understanding and stuff. Like there's a million ways that it's bad for women. And but you know, that's supposed to be progress and feminism, that women have access to fuck up our bodies.
Yeah,
we can take birth control and we can take Plan P and we can have abortions. And it's like, great, but it would be better to not have sex with losers who aren't prepared to make a baby with, who don't love you, you don't love, you know. Like it would be better to make them use their fingers and tongues if you really want to have sex, instead of letting a man who you would never make a baby with come inside of you and then you have to pay for the Plan B yourself or whatever it is. Like all that shit. Yeah. Yeah. I know you're dating now. So like,
hold on. Let's not. I'm just kidding.
No, but
point
I do.
Taken.
I think,
yeah, no,
you
I
know,
understand.
It's all that burden is placed on women. And then it's supposed to be progress that women can take birth control. Like it sucks.
Yeah.
And so it's that same thing. Like this is just what could be more Western, you know, people like a lot of like liberal people are kind of like, you know, more like into Eastern medicine. Right. They think Western medicine is. And yet we've signed up for exogenous hormones for the rest of our lives and surgeries in order to fix dysphoria. I don't know. I mean, I shouldn't even be talking so candidly, you know, about all of this. I think everyone's at the end of the rope. And I don't, like you say, like people are pushing back. But, you know, and pulling back and silently. And I'm like, I just want people to know not all gay people are into this
shit. And I know that. And I know a lot of gay people feel this way, too. And but they're kind of like that, like the story I told you about the drag queen that my friend's friend, he's like, I could never say this in my community. But I think I'm not telling people what to do or how to live or anything like that. And but it's just there are a lot of non-bigoted, straight, normie people who don't know what to make of this, and they're like kind of backing away a little bit.
Right.
And I think that's just something that people should be aware of. I'm just saying, know that that is occurring.
Yeah.
And act accordingly, do whatever you want. Like another thing that happened was, and this one just sort of made me laugh. Like there was a pride event at the White House and there was, you know, a big pride flag, which great, good, do that, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I don't know who is in charge of the invite list, but they invited, I guess, who they thought were prominent LGBTQ.
YouTube influencers or something.
This one was
TikTok
a TikTok
people.
Influencer, a trans woman. And, you know, they're all at this sort of like garden party at the White House lawn. And she films herself taking her top down. She's got fake tits. And
or starts, are they fake or are they ones that she grew on?
They were... inserts. What am I saying? They were fake.
Okay.
And she was just juggling them around.
But they were fake, like she'd had surgery, or fake, like they were just You know what I mean?
Fake boobs, implants.
Implant. Okay, well, that's different. Because if it was just like a...
Right.
You know what I mean? There is a difference. Like, if you just had, like, actually, like, drag queen fake boobs...
Right.
Then it's kind of like, oh, whatever. But if they're now the things that are attached to your body and your are your sexual organs, yeah.
Yeah, like, so what she... are we doing? And she, like, yeah, juggled them around. And, of course, this was filmed, and she put this on her thing. And then so the White House had to quietly ban her for life.
Right.
From being there. And now there's this image out there of a person flopping their tits out at the White House.
Just the height of feminism.
Which, of course, Fox News just...
Right, libs of TikTok, Fox News, all these things are going to...
Catnip for them. Right. And it's just sort of like... And again, someone like me, if a cis woman flopped her tits out at the White House, started to juggle them around, yeah, be like, oh, she's deranged or right, something. But like...
But we're not
are we
supposed
not allowed
to
say think that now?
Right. And that's the thing that, you know, people need to realize, like you said, just because you're queer doesn't mean you're just like a good person forever. Nothing you ever do is bad. You know, there are people who make shitty decisions and have shitty motivations and all kinds of things in every group of people. And you don't just get a pass because you are identifying as something. You know?
I guess not.
And there's, it is just very like... You know, it's hard to, it feels like, okay, so this person has boobs now, and what she can't wait to do is take her top off and juggle her. Like, most women would not do that.
No.
Now, there are some women who are very, like, free
most
the nipple.
Most trans women wouldn't do that.
Most trans women wouldn't do that. But there are some women who are, like, free the nipple, but even then, you're not usually doing it sexually. You're going, this isn't a sexual thing. Like, I can have my boobs out and not be sexual. I'm feeding yeah, a baby, or I'm just being topless like a man would. But the difference between a man and a woman, a man, there's not really much to shimmy and be sexual about. So the thing is like, okay, you're ruining it for everybody who'd like to free the nipple or anything right, if you then sexualize it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And again, I keep going back to this, just like this freaks out the normies, and you may hate the normies, but like you need them.
Yeah.
And I, you know, for example, like my ex-wife, I you could probably classify she knew nothing about any of this stuff until like a while back. She texted me one time, was like, have you heard this term cis before? And I texted her back like, this might warrant a phone call, because she yeah, knew none of this.
I would say, how long ago was this?
This is maybe a year ago.
Okay, she's pretty late to the game.
Very late to the yeah, game. And like I was explaining all this stuff to her, and I was just like, I wasn't whitewashing anything. Yeah. I'm like, okay, we were supposed to believe like, well, no, this is what I was just saying, like, this is what this term means. Right. I was just defining terms. Right. If you want to understand a movement or an ideology, it's good to just say what these words yeah, mean. And she was just bewildered, and now she's like kind of turfy and like, mm-hmm, but she wants to know more about this stuff, and she's like reading some books and stuff because she's like, what's fucking going on? Well, and I try to be like, you know, I mean, I'm telling you what the real deal is, but you know, this is gender dysphoria is real, and this is a real thing and whatever. But I'm also like not, I'm saying, yeah, there's also people who think like, their genital preferences are transphobic and stuff. She's like, wait, what? And I had to explain right, that to her. She's like, are you fucking kidding? Like,
yeah, see.
She's just like, this is like I landed on from another planet.
And the truth is, most people don't know much about this. And the moment they learn anything about it, they pretty quickly go, fuck. Like you said, she's like turfy now. Anybody who looks into it for 15 minutes is going to become what people are calling turfy.
Right.
And so it's like they really should stop doing that, because, you know, I'm actually working on an essay right now about this where I'm like, OK, does this make me a turf? Because I think everything that I'm going to say, everyone who reads it, except for a handful of leftist communists, are going to go, OK, I guess I'm a turf, too, because that's exactly what I believe. And that's the thing. I think like it really sucks because, you know, I know some trans people who. And first of all, most trans men are on the same page as us.
Yeah.
And it's just, I know some trans women who really are just, I feel so bad for them, but it's like, they can't, cause it's like, you can't even ask them like, hey, get your sisters in check, because the thing that happened with, you know, with the way that like intersectional politics and identity politics has gone is that you're not allowed to question trans shit. And if you are, like, it's considered like a dog whistle to even say that you have a question, because questions just mean that you're, I mean, like, the whole thing is.
I certainly can't. I mean, obviously I am like the
least. They won't let me either.
Right.
That's why I wanted to talk to lots of my trans chick friends about a lot of stuff, but they shut it down. They won't do it, you know? And it's crazy because they all have different answers than, like a friend of mine told me, you know, because the orthodoxy is like trans people have always really been a woman or a man.
Mm-hmm.
But you talk to some of them and they go, oh, no, I don't think that. Like, I just decided a few years ago that I prefer to be a woman. You're like, well, then that kind of takes away the whole thing. And so I agree, like, that's, I would rather people admit that. But then that means you don't get to play in our sports. That means maybe we got to talk about, you know, various women's spaces and things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I do kind of, if you cut your balls off, I'm like, okay with it. You know what I mean? But there's just a lot of nuance to this. It's
dick equals danger, right?
Yeah, dick equals, and balls equal danger. And really more so than the dick. You cut your dick off, but rape someone with your fingers because those balls are pumping that testosterone. And it's not just testosterone and whatever, but like, I think, what was I saying? This is obviously one of the most nuanced concepts mankind has ever encountered. And yet we're just supposed to listen to trans women and shut the fuck up, TERF, and suck my dick if you have any questions. You know what I mean? Suck my girl dick if you have any questions about the women, the men who have raped a bunch of women and are now saying that they're women and they're going into women's prisons in California as a matter of course. I mean,
that brought down the government of Scotland, that very thing happening.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like these things are literally happening, and yet I don't understand why even the fake trans women who are just trying to live their sexualized lives, they should be against this too. They're all going to lose all their rights. The only reason, like when you say, like, how is this happening? How are people making this stupid of a decision to do sexual things in front of kids in the White House? It almost feels like there are some people who are doing this as this kind of like psyop where they're in there like making these bad decisions because they know that it's going to create this backlash, whether that's because they're working for the Russians or because you know, their favorite thing actually is to be the most oppressed group of people. I mean, my mind can go off into like, I have, because things are so crazy. Like, why would you do that?
And why it is a minority of these people. Of
yeah. Yeah.
Like, this does not represent gay, you know.
No, but it represents, it's the loudest, craziest people on Twitter, on TikTok, whatever. That's who people are seeing. And so, and it sucks because at the same time, there's a lot of like great, like, you know, Republican people who just have really reasonable ideas about things, who then their worst people are saying truly racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, disgusting things publicly. And you go, could you shut the fuck up? You're making us look bad. It would be so easy to beat the Democrats right now. They have shut their foot so far. Their heads are so far up their asses. We could beat them. But the craziest people over there are being just as crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You and I spend more time with the crazy liberals and seeing that shit. So we're more sensitive to their bullshit. But the truth is, like, that's what this podcast is really all about. It's like, I think there's something like 15% of the country on either side who have lost their goddamn minds in this era of being in your bubble. And their ideas just keep getting worse and worse because they only talk to each other and only listening to each other's news and podcasts and books and all that, if they're reading at all. And it's the 70s.
And that's what my ex-wife says to me, because I'll tell you, she's like, you know that, like, because she knows the world I'm in, that mm-hmm. she's not. And she's like, you got to remember where you are is a little bubble that's like not, the rest of us are not living like, you know, we're not part of that.
Right.
And she's, you know, liberal and
a good-hearted person, I'm sure, open-minded and compassionate.
Yeah.
And 70% or so, I mean, I make all these numbers up, but I think about, it feels like about 70% of the country is in the middle somewhere. Some are center right, some are center left, some are pretty far left or far right. And yet that's, if we're going to do an us versus them, it really should be those of us in the middle who are just kind of reasonable and want this country to find a better direction to go in because things are sliding off the rails real fast, versus the 15% on either side who, we've got to do something about these people in terms of not paying attention to them, you know, whatever, take back our media, like stop watching the corporate media.
Because look, we, you know, gay marriage was legalized in this mm-hmm. country not, you know, that long ago. So, and that was a result, I think, of a long-term PR campaign generally speaking, where the message was like, we're like you. Mm-hmm. We fall in love with people and we want to get married to them just like you do. Like, yeah. we're not that. That was the,
right.
and that will appeal to people that can resonate because, with normies yeah. and for people that aren't even necessarily have the coolest opinion about gay people right. in general. But they could be like, well, I don't see why they couldn't do that, you know.
Right. Eventually their daughter, their best friend comes out to them and they said, oh, okay. Oh, you're gay? Oh, I thought because the people who are visibly gay or visibly trans or visibly, like especially with gay, like I know a lot of lesbians who said, well, I didn't think I was a lesbian because all the lesbians I saw were the ugly ones. It's like, because yeah, you don't know the hot ones are lesbians. It's only the ugly ones that are visibly lesbian.
Oh, man.
And so that's the thing. It's like when people are thinking that we have these biases because we go, that gay guy, like, you know, it's a flamboyant, annoying gay voice guy. You see that and you go, well, he's gay. But you don't see that the butch friend of yours you play tennis with is gay.
Yeah.
And so once the butch friend who plays tennis comes out as your gay dude friend and you realize that, yeah, your cousin who's just like a normal chick has been married this whole time and has three kids you didn't know about and whatever. And you're like, oh, like that's why gay marriage was so successful. Or, you know, the gay rights movement eventually became so successful is because we really most of us are normal. You know,
yeah.
or whatever normal, but like, you know, pretty fucking normal. Like, yeah, I wear some of my shirts are marketed to men, but like, and I date women. Like, it's not, but I'm kind of just like a normal dude in a female body.
Yeah. And you can, and wanting to get married is something yeah. that people understand. You're saying to straight normie people something that's very understandable
because right.
I want to get, or people, I want to be in relationships also.
Right. But you then, don't want to sign up for having to take synthetic hormones for the rest of your life and chop off your ball. And what, like all that kind of stuff is a lot harder for people to relate to. And
yeah. And also I'm like, well, I don't have to understand something for it to be real.
Yeah.
Me understanding something is not a mark of its validity.
Right.
Right. I concede that. But, and so I'm kind of, you know, live and let live about these things that I don't
yeah.
understand, but there's just sort of things I don't understand. But then like with some things, I'm like, I can sense like, it's not going to knock me off the allyship train, but I can see it's good. It has the potential to, and I see it happening with people my age,
right.
knocking people who are similar to me off the train just by, you know, especially the like an 11-year-old drag queen boy is just deeply unsettling to people.
Yeah.
Like it's like it goes beyond not understanding something to like this
yeah
puts
well
me
it's
in a
just
weird place.
It really has been a really slippery slope because a lot of us are like, hey, if adult people want to choose to, you know, do things to their minds and body systems that that help them to be happier and live their lives in a more fulfilled way, like we're
yeah.
all about that. But a lot of things have creeped into it becoming like, well, now we got to be worried about social contagion and just medical malpractice that's become rampant. I mean, the puberty blockers thing, like, I don't really care if you accuse me of transphobia. I mean, it's like so obvious. Sweden, Norway, Finland, Denmark, England
yeah.
have all outlawed the use of just using puberty blockers. Now they're still doing clinical trials, but they're like, we need more research. We have
yeah.
not been doing assessments correctly for this. We have been over, you know, just doing it. We didn't realize a lot of the side effects and a lot of the issues that would coincide with doing this.
Because medical science, like any science, corrects itself.
Right.
Or ideally.
And I don't think that we even need to do the, you know, these laws that are like outlawing it. I think what's the because because people call this, like, I know people who call this the biggest medical scandal of our time, and I think that's true, but you know what was the biggest medical scandal the last time was lobotomies. Guess what? They never outlawed lobotomies. They still did a few even in the 80s, like, but they just became really unpopular because everyone realized it was a horrible idea.
Yeah,
the
okay.
medical field realized, like, all of the government, like all of the medical boards and bodies, like, you know, all came out against it. But right now, because, you know, the AAP and all these like medical organizations are in the pockets of the pharmaceutical industry, just like all of our politicians. And so they have this vested interest in not doing all of these research, you know, all of these analyses of the research, because they don't want to lose their funding.
Yeah.
Most of their funding is coming from the lobbyists too. And so
okay.
that problem isn't really so much with the laws, it's the capture of all of our agencies. this whole country has become pretty much corrupted by money. And you know, it's all these same, you know, leftists that we're talking about understand this is late stage capitalism and we're fucked because of it. Well, the same late stage capitalism that they rail against is the late stage capitalism that has led to the medical malpractice and overuse of let's do drugs and surgery on it.
I mean that's a difficult one. I don't have any strong opinions about it because I don't know, because you know, if your kid is if my kid came to me and said I'm trans or whatever, I guess I'd just follow. I'd go with doctor, you know, what the doctor said. I don't know if that's. I certainly wouldn't say like no fucking. I'm going to take you somewhere to get you re-engineered or whatever. Right. I mean, I have a lot of sympathy for parents who are placed in this situation because I don't know what I'd do. And I think that they're doing everything that they think is right for their children.
Yeah. And what happens a lot of time is that the kid then, they go to their doctor, the pediatrician, and they tell them about this. Well, the pediatrician then refers them to a gender clinic because it's not their specialty. And then the doctor figures out eventually, they're like, well, hey, I sent this one kid to the gender clinic who seemed like a classic trans kid, and then they put them on hormones and everything. And I'm like, okay. And then they send this other kid who's like, well, this kid's autistic and has all these other issues going on, and just said that they were trans, even though they've always played with gender normative toys this whole time and never had this kind of stuff. And then they refer them to the gender clinic where they're specialists. Well, and then the gender clinic puts them on hormones that same day. And I'm not exaggerating. This is what's become of it. You know, there used to be too much gatekeeping, and now there's the opposite of gatekeeping. There's shunting kids through this gate. And, you know, I mean, I just read a study that now the detransition rate, which has always been, you know, like we weren't supposed to talk about detransition. You could get canceled for even saying it. Well, it's now 30%.
30. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there has been so much suppression of this topic. And it was everyone just wanted to be on the right side of history so bad after the last couple of right side of history things.
Yeah.
That we just kind of gave a blank check to the trans people. And there are all kinds of people whose motivations are, you know, all over the spectrum. But and many of them mean well. I mean, if you think about you take a trans woman who hated puberty. She just was miserable going through male puberty and knew that this was wrong for her and just everything about it sucks. And now she's too tall to really ever pass. Now if she wants to get rid of her Adam's apple, she'll have to shave it down, et cetera, et cetera. And so she looks back and goes, I wish I hadn't. But what they don't tell you is that when they have done studies on kids who present with gender dysphoria, anywhere from 66% to 98% of them just become gay. We just either grow out of it in general or mostly they become gay adults. And going through puberty can help teach you a way to be actually into your body. And you can learn about your own sexuality. And you can realize there are some people, like if you're, if you're female, it turns out, yeah, you're attracted to women. And there are some women who are like femmes, maybe, who like you're really attracted to, who really like that you're a female, who really like your masculine energy, but that you're a female. That's what they're into. And so you can, but so instead, you know, we're doing this experimental thing because people think that that's what they would have wanted, but maybe they wouldn't be happy because maybe they have a kid now that they had before they transitioned. And maybe they grew enough penis to make a vagina. And maybe, they can have an orgasm now, but if they had blocked their puberty and then gone on to cross-sex hormones, if they'd never had an orgasm before that, it's very hard to develop the like neural connections to ever learn how to have an orgasm. And so a lot of this stuff has been well-intentioned, but I've always been problems with these studies and very small samples and all kinds of stuff like that. But
what studies do you seek out and read? Like, where do they come from?
Okay, so I mean, I don't know where. I mean, I just like read so many studies all the time, or like, you know, I'm reading like the methodology and the conclusion, the results for the most part. Like, and I don't have perfect scientific or academic literacy, but like, you know, I'm looking into stuff, and then I'm reading smart people's assessments of these things. So take like the Dutch people. That was the Dutch protocol. Comes from because in the Netherlands they pioneered this puberty blocker treatment.
Right. Okay.
And they were the first to stop it. But they took kids and they gave them these questionnaires before treatment that ask them about their gender dysphoria, like how much do your genitals make you uncomfortable? How much do other people seeing you is this or that? Like, so kind of all these questions, and they rated their dysphoria. And then after putting them on hormones, they gave them the questions again. But then they gave them the opposite sex questionnaire. So now they were saying like how much, so imagine like you've had bottom surgery, for instance. And you asked the question before, like, how much does your penis bother you? And you go, a lot. And now they ask you, how much does your vagina bother you? Or actually, no. So like you haven't had bottom surgery. This is like the people hadn't had bottom, you know, but like now they're asked, now they're on hormones, but they're asked, how much does your vagina bother you? And you go, well, not at all.
Okay.
And they go, oh, look, success.
I see. Okay.
So, I mean, that was literally one of the studies that people cite all the time to say puberty blockers are a great idea. And it's like, it didn't even make any sense. It didn't even, like, some of the questions made sense and like the dysphoria did go down in some ways, but others of them was like, well, of course, they don't have a pussy.
Right.
Why would their pussy bother them? It's literally like, there's so much. Others of them, there are studies that people cite all the time about like trans people, like, you know, being happy with their outcomes. And they were internet surveys where anyone could take them literally as many times as they wanted. It was like marketed to people who were very pro trans, you know, methodologies like this. So it's just stuff, thing after thing like that, where.
Yeah.
Then and peer review is completely broken in this country. You know, like everything's kind of broken. Well, almost everybody's bad at their job.
As someone who's you know, just tries to understand all this and is not weighing in with an opinion one way or another, what should the protocol be then if you have a child? So I think what you're implying here is that, like, some, yes, will benefit from puberty blockers, but then some, no. Is there conceivably a way to gatekeep in a way that we funnel the right ones into that and then the other ones out so they can just turn into the person that they're going to happily be?
So this is why they're doing it as clinical trials in the countries where they've banned this as the regular practice. But what we're pretty sure of is that there are some kids who are, from the time that they're little, they are insistent, persistent, and consistent about their identification and their dysphoria. And probably the majority of kids who are in that camp, if you have good assessment of that, and it's not the people who changed their mind yesterday, it's not the people who are just started going through puberty and are like uncomfortable with their female bodies and their changes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you take those kids and you did this, you would probably not have too many people who would have changed their mind. I mean, it's hard. We can't even say, you know, once someone goes through that, we don't know how they would have done if they hadn't. So we can't really say. But regardless of whether that kid always would have persisted in their dysphoria and their desire to transition as much as possible toward being as much as possible like the other sex, there are all of these side effect issues. Side effects, not even the right. It's very strange for a child developmentally to not go through puberty when their peers go through puberty. It's the bone density stuff that people talk about is a little mixed because you might lose some bone density, but once you take the cross-sex hormones or allow real puberty to happen, sorry to say real puberty, whatever, natural puberty to happen, like then you probably will get all or most of it back. I don't know. I've seen mixed studies about the bone density thing. But you know, if you're, so for a while, like some of these, they've done a better job now. Cause like the people who are, you know, biologically born male and then, take the puberty blockers, like, and then go into the cross-sex hormones, they didn't grow enough penile tissue to make the vagina. So for a while they were taking the colon, but then at least one person died of necrotizing fasciitis or something like that. Like, but now I've heard that they have better technology where they're taking something from inside your stomach. And so whether you have the penis issue or you're just nowadays, like you're an adult who's changing your penis to a vagina, like they actually are like self-lubricating now, which they weren't until 3 years ago, which is always my thing too, of like, how do you pull the trigger on getting the pussy now when you know the technology is going to keep improving? Shouldn't you? Well, the people who didn't wait for the self-wetting ones have to feel like idiots.
It's like LASIK or something.
Yeah, like let's wait till it's cheaper and better. Yeah. You know, I don't know. So there are a number of issues like that, though. And so we're not really sure how okay it is. And again, so like the has this kid had orgasms? Because I started having orgasms when I was 2, you know, but
fuck.
Thank you. But for Jesus most Christ. People, and then the other thing, you know, if you haven't, like, yeah. And then do you teach a kid like how to masturbate so that they can have that connection to their body before you put them on these things? Like, that is a whole weird issue. And then
you can't do that with a boy.
Right. And then the other thing is, like, this whole puberty blocker, cross-sex hormone thing, puberty blocker thing it's really for, you know, what they call AMABs, assigned male at birth, although it's not an assignment. Assigned, you know, boy to dude at birth isn't, you know, sure. But little males who transition to being women later, they have a really hard time passing because of, they're probably, right. You know, 5'10 or more. They have these Adam's apples. Their shoulders are so broad. But if you think about it, like trans men who transition as adults, after a few years of that testosterone, pass. I mean, there's an awkward teenage period where they don't, but eventually they got a beard, their voice is deep enough, yeah. And whatever. And you can't tell. No one's looking at whether or not you have an Adam's apple, you know? And so we never should have been doing this, I think, to girls in the first place. I think that, and sorry to AFABs if you want, you know, I just don't think that makes sense. So I think we just need to really go back and go, it needs to be carefully studied which kids we should really be doing this to and have really good, competent people assessing this, put the gatekeeping back. And then even then, there may be slightly better drugs that we could be using. There might be a little bit of a different protocol. And if people want to sign up knowing that they're guinea pigs.
Yeah.
And if the kids and the parents decide together that they are okay with helping us develop the science, I think that's fine. But just telling doctors that, yep, the protocol is you take these drugs that we used to use on sex offenders and we just give that to the kids. And that's, we just, you know, we have this off-label use of chemical castration drugs that we give kids. Yep, 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 that's normal. Like, that's not okay. But careful, controlled studies that people really genuinely consent to and understand the implications of. You know, it's really hard. Can an 8-year-old, can a 10-year-old, can a 12-year-old understand what it means to give up their fertility?
That's a good question.
I'm okay with them not having kids. There's too many fucking people, but they might be upset, yeah. You know?
I mean, they have to understand. 12, you have to know, you have to understand.
Women, you know, a lot of women think that they don't want to have kids. And then all of a sudden at 30, they are sure they want to have kids.
Oh, well, that goes for anyone, cis or trans, you know?
Right, that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. So, like, the idea, you know... The idea that anybody is so sure, even though we at the same time say that things are fluid, but the idea that anyone is so sure that they want to go through this drastic stuff, I just don't think these kids are really, I think very few of them are capable at all of understanding what the real cost-benefit analysis is. And I think that some of this information is being obfuscated from them, just like the doctors knew about the thyroid stuff for birth control, and yet they just give it to the women and don't say anything. Mm-hmm. The same thing is going on with this where, you know, the doctors, the nurses are not like necessarily really being trained. I mean, some of them have come out as whistleblowers and have explained how this is going. They didn't know a lot of this stuff. And they were just telling parents, like, you know, their informed consent was just kind of like, oh, yeah, you might have a little bit of bone density loss and, you know, you might not be able to have kids. But, you know, not that other than that, like this is shown to be the best thing. And your kid's probably going to kill themselves if they don't do this. And so go ahead. It's the best thing. We're told it's the best thing.
Yeah, that's the one part that's kind of troubling to me is this insistence that suicide is almost a given. It's never been true.
It was one of these surveys that they did once, self-reported thing about how often have you had strong suicidal, you know, thoughts in the past year? And all these people also knew that this was a survey for trans stuff. And so they're incentivized to say it's worse than it is. But even if it's not, like, you know, it's like 45% of people have considered strongly suicide. 45% of all teenagers have strongly considered. I've strongly considered suicide this year. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, and so this whole, would you rather have a dead daughter or a live son or whatever? Like,
and then that's, it seems to me that that implants an idea in the kid's head.
Yes, we know suicide is contagious, right, as an idea. It's absolutely, again, it's like total malpractice. And it really smacks of emotional abuse to tell people, you know, you're telling your parents or you're the doctor telling a kid's parents, like, well, they're going to kill themselves if you don't let them do this thing that you know that they just changed, they just decided 2 years ago and have been insistent on ever since they were on Tumblr too much. And, you know, I mean, again, like, I don't know. I'm talking too forthrightly about this shit because I'm too deep into it. And I've been kind of like a little bit in the closet for a long time about how much I know. Yeah. But now it's just gotten to the point where like more and more people are learning about this stuff. And so I'm like hoping it's okay to be more honest and open about what's going on. Because again, like I have a lot of trans friends. I know a lot of trans people who like, I totally want them to live their lives the way that they are living them. There are like some, you know, my girlfriend has had a lot of really bad experiences with men. And so her hackles can get raised when she's around men, especially, you know, some men more than others. But in general,
your girlfriend.
Yeah, she's very kind of wary, you know, and there are some trans women that she's like, oh, no, hackles not raised at all. Like she can tell that they're trans, but she's still, you know, a lot of time. But she's still just like totally comfortable with like no hackles are being raised. Other trans women friends of mine that she encounters, she's like, yeah, I would never be in a room alone with them, you know. So I don't know, things are just so complicated, and I feel really, really bad for the trans people who do just want to live their lives, but at the same time I think they don't realize how contagious this stuff is.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, I mean, you're not allowed to talk about the girls are, you know, prone to the contagion about stuff, but we know they are. It's happened so much. And there's a woman who I think recently wrote like a really good book about her anorexia and kind of comparing it to the control of the body and this kind of dysmorphia overlap. And, you know, little girls are really susceptible to this. And if you're told your discomfort with your puberty might mean that you're a boy, like, well, we're all uncomfortable about our puberty.
I mean, female puberty sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah.
And of course, I mean, I would imagine many people are uncomfortable experiencing
it. Right. And then if you're a little bit gender divergent and it's really popular to be trans, I mean, you know, at the same time, there are people who are living in parts of the country where, like, they genuinely, like, are gender nonconforming and are really bullied and are not having it, you know, and, like, they do need some kind of help. And, you know, there's still a lot of bigotry against trans people, even when it's just someone trying to live their lives. Like, all of that is real. But the truth is, I think we were making more progress on that and people's hearts and minds were being opened when it was just people trying to live their lives. But when you say, no, we also need to teach your kids that they might actually be a girl or a boy, no matter what their genitals are, and teach them that in elementary school and whatever. Like, yeah. Then people go, nah, I'm out.
It's circling kind of back to what my thrust was here is yes, that is a winnable thing. Like, we just want to live our lives. Like, we're different. We just want to live our lives. Like, that's going to win over people who otherwise may not have cool opinions about shit. But saying that, well, you also need to believe these assertions that we're making that are very counter to your understanding of the world. That's you've made a giant leap there, which
right.
You're asking.
And
people.
We're just going to teach your kids no matter what you believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, so much of this is social media where it's like, is this real? Or is this, you know, or am I just getting barraged with stuff because of an algorithm?
Right.
But like if this thing is being taught in school somewhere, like I just see an image that's being taught, I don't know if it is or not. But if it is, I'd be like, why? Why is this? Is this school?
Right.
Is this what you go to school to learn?
I thought it was really like strange. It reading. Should be, but this country doesn't seem to realize that we really need to be educating people and not doing all this kind of critical gender theory, all this stuff, you know? It's so it feels like everything that the Republicans were yelling about that wasn't really happening a few decades ago is happening now, like in terms of liberal propaganda in elementary schools and stuff. It's like, well, now it is.
My kid's school got featured on a Libs of TikTok
really?
Thing. Yeah.
What happened?
It was someone took a picture of what was on the board in the kindergarten, and it was like it was some race thing. It's like why white people should feel bad or something like that, and it went viral. And it is interesting having a 12-year-old, because it's like, you know, younger people say, well, you're old, you just don't get it, this is all settled or whatever, you know, especially when I've like dated younger people. Like, I don't.
When you date 12-year-olds? Okay.
Not quite. But yeah, younger enough that they have a different perspective and they're like, whatever. But the thing is, I have a child now, so I know what people younger than you are thinking.
Right.
That's interesting. And I don't try to, I let him make up his own mind about a lot of things. And it's interesting that some stuff, at least if he is any kind of indicator of his generation, some of this stuff sticks, some of it doesn't.
Yeah.
So like he's a very sensitive kid. He's not good at sports and he loves musical theater. So of course, you know, he gets made fun of for being gay.
Yeah.
Which, you know, he says he's not in a defensive way, but just in a very matter of fact way. And so, but he said to his mom, like, you know, they shouldn't make fun of me for that because, like, I'm not gay, but what if someone else were gay around here? Like, they're hearing that it's a bad thing. Yeah, that it's a bad thing, and that's going to make them. So this is where his head's at. Yeah. He's like a very empathetic kid. He's getting bullied, and he's worried about someone else.
The message,
you know. But at the same, so he has that view of you know, homosexuality. You know, you don't dare, you know, he wouldn't tolerate anything racist or whatever, but he does not take pronouns seriously at all. That's so funny. Like, he'll make fun of those.
Is there anyone in his school who's doing any of the, like, EM errors kind of like off the map ones, or is he just
not that I
the day
know them? Of I are there any non-binary kids in your school? He's like, yeah, like I think there's a few in the grade above me or whatever, so he's like aware of it.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm like, are you ever asked to give your pronouns? He's like, only when like certain teachers come around, we have to go around. So so to him,
do little gender reveal parties.
Like to him, that's like a thing that like certain adults are into.
There's a few dorks who are doing it.
It's like, yeah, that's how he sees it. But at the same time, he's not like homophobic or anything like that. He's just these sort of like little ritualized things. He just doesn't take seriously any more than he takes religion class seriously. He's like, this is just something that adults say. That's kind of whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the pronoun thing is very interesting because, you know, the idea in the good liberal world is we're just supposed to do the pronouns, you know, like I say my pronouns in my email signature so that trans people don't have to feel weird about doing theirs. You're supposed to ask everyone for their pronouns so that we normalize it. And first of all, no one asks everyone for their pronouns unless they're doing the little circle thing. But they ask me for my pronouns a lot, you know. But the thing about it is like what people have done, you know, without getting a vote from society, is they've said, okay, instead of pronouns reflecting the material reality of sex, with a little bit of intersex, you know, stuff here and there, that's a little, but even then, the intersex thing is another one of these things that's been way overblown. They say like 2.3% of people have some kind of, you know, difference of sexual development, and it's like as common as being a redhead or something. But it's like not really true, because almost all of those conditions, you're very clearly male or female. It's just like you didn't masculinize until puberty, or you did, you know, like it's stuff like that. But the people are clearly on the line. So it's a very small percentage of people. It's like 0.02 or something percentage of people who have like what we would think of as like a real intersex condition, where things are a little muddied. Yeah, where things are a little bit like unclear about it. For the most part, even people with these DSDs are very much either male or female. Their bodies are organized to produce large or small gametes, et cetera. So we had been using in English, and most languages have this, pronouns to reflect sex. But then all of a sudden, you know, first of all, there are trans people who are saying, okay, well, actually call me she or he. Now that made sense because they were living as men or women and trying their best to pass and just live their lives normally. You know, but then once it became.
And who wouldn't do that? You're an asshole if you don't do
that. Right. But so once it became, well, then there's these non-binary people. And so like there's all these, you know, usually lesbian types who are like they, them. And I'm like, well, it's like all the ones that are like me, the boy ones, as I call us, you know, all the kind of dude ones tend to do they, them, or there's some they, he's, she, they is usually for bi chicks, but, you know, and who aren't like even masculine at all. And you're like, okay, But so the idea is like, okay, so then instead of it being about sex, then what we're really doing is like what your gender vibe is. Mm-hmm. Okay. But like, again, we didn't take a vote. We didn't all agree to do that. And so now you've got this crazy thing where some people are trans and they're just trying to be the other one. Some people are fake trans and they're sending child porn, and now you got to write she sent child porn and whatever.
Yeah.
And then you got all these EMers and ZMs, they're autistic people. And then you've got they, them, their people who it's like, yeah, but everyone knows you're a chick or everyone knows you're a dude. Like, yeah. It's fine. Like, it's like I said, like everyone knows, everyone always knew that half of us lesbians were the dude ones. You already knew that.
Yeah.
And we've all been low key half trans for way before any of this shit. Jacqueline called herself Jack. You know what I mean? Michaela goes by Mick or something. You know what I mean? Like we all did that because we were just kind of like low key transitioning to where we needed to be. But now, oh, you got to do they, them, partly as kind of like, signaling your politics. But also because it's like, well, if you're a lesbian, you might be a TERF, but if you're they, them, then you're not.
Oh, is that the insinuation there?
Yeah, because lesbians might have a general preference and that might be transphobic AF.
Ooh.
But if you're they, them, no one's, you know what I mean? That you can kind of get away with not even talking about that general preference.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, this is a bit that I've started doing, but.
And how is this, to what extent? And again, this is like. You know, I hear these things like, I don't know how pervasive they are. I don't know how real they are. But like in the lesbian community,
is the
genital preference thing considered a.
Yeah. So I know it sounds like something that might just be. But that's the thing. Republicans don't have to exaggerate anymore. OK.
Yeah.
So literally my girlfriend was just showing me the other day a friend of hers Instagram story where this friend was talking about it was like this like kink event that happens that like. Everybody like signs up, and if you want to, you can enter the like a drawing to have your fantasy played out with other people. And so you fill out this whole questionnaire about like what your sexual fantasy would be, you know, and so if your name gets drawn from the hat, then they're gonna organize your sexual fantasy coming true at this thing. So, you know, or you might be helping it, or you might be doing it. But so on
like
the
that leads to actual fucking people who have agreed to like.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Already wild, but like that sounds awesome. Like I would love if I could have a controlled situation where like I could play out like a whole fantasy. There's like some people who do these kinds of things and great for them. But with this Instagram story, what she was complaining about, or they probably, I don't know this person, but what this person was saying was, hey, on this intake form, they ask you when, like for the people who are going to do stuff to you, you know, do you prefer penis or vagina? Or either or whatever. And they were like, in case you don't know, that's transphobic AF. And you blah, blah, blah. And all, she was trying to defend herself. The woman who runs is trying to defend herself in the comments. But you know that's transphobic and everyone needs to boycott this and blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, first of all, a lot of women have been hurt by men a lot and maybe don't want a penis anywhere near them, no matter who it's attached to. Number two, like I'm a gold star, you know, I've only had sex with pussy people. I'm supposed to just be like, oh yeah, it could be that there's a penis attached to some woman who's going to do stuff. No, don't worry about it. Yeah, that's cool. I don't want to be transphobic.
They're literally asking you what your sexual fantasy is.
Yeah.
And you're not allowed to.
Yeah. Well, and also it's like, it's so crazy.
Jesus
because
Christ.
You know who called my sexuality a preference in the past? All the conservatives who were fighting against gay marriage. It was a preference.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's the liberal kids who are calling my sexuality a preference. I mean, at the same time, I'm like open to the fact, you know, I'm in a monogamous relationship now. But like if one day in the future that's not the case and there's a trans woman who seduces me, like I'm not saying that could never happen. Like, I don't know about you. It's like there could be a man who's, you know, I'm not. Saying I could never. I'm just saying in my past, and if I were coming up with my fantasy, and if I was going to go to an orgy, like there's a lesbian party that happens in town. It's like an underground thing, but you know, but they not only let in trans women, but they let in anybody. Now they finally have pulled it back because at first it was like, it was just like there were cis women and trans women, right? And then the last time I went, there were a bunch of dudes and they didn't even look like they were like non-binary type of dudes. A lot of them.
Just so, like me walking
just,
around?
Or just like hairy, ugly men. I mean, literally to get through to the coat check, you had to walk through all these men who were like doing a mosh pit with each other. Like it did me. But also in this, at this party, there is a sex room. There is a dark room where people go and have sex. And you can't really see much of what's going on in there and who's in there. And so now I have to, if you want to go into the sex room, you have to, and guess who's mostly in the sex room? People with penises of one variety or another. And this was our underground lesbian, not put on the internet part. Like, what is the point of having an underground lesbian party if you're literally going to let cis dudes come to there? So now they've said dykes of all sexes or genders or whatever are welcome. At least there's some amount of, you know, pushback on that. But like, I'm like, literally, yeah. When people joke about or people talk about, you know, lesbians are getting it the worst, we're being forced to just, yeah, it's that's real.
Is that true then?
Yeah. I you're not allowed to have an all female event.
Yeah.
And in fact, even saying that, because trans women are female now. Like, remember when trans women were males, but see you as women, and we could be like, okay, there's sex and there's gender. Now, and as of like 2017 or something, then that became anathema. And then that became, nope, to even say the phrase biologically male or biologically female, to say, well, you're a woman, but you're male. Like, you're just not allowed to say any of that. So it's like, something's going on, and I don't know. I mean, there's some people who think it's because in the 60s, the Russians snuck some Marxists into our academia, and then now it's all devolved from there. I don't really know, but.
But yeah, this is the you know, the part that's confusing to the normies, like right. I keep saying. They're just.
Well, the queers don't even have our own story straight. A lot of the queer people, like, don't even understand what they're doing when it comes to changing pronouns. They don't understand what's going on with kids. They don't know, you know, they don't get it either. Like, there aren't that many people who really do understand, whether it's the left, the right, or anywhere. Like, because I don't know that there are that many sinister people. I do know that there's some really powerful, rich trans women who have lobbied some crazy shit. And I think there is some nefarious stuff going on with a few of these people. Just in terms of, I'll give you some books to read after this if you're interested. They're juicy as fuck. But for the most part, I think it's just we've gotten tangled up in our own weird politics. And
well, another thing that happens, I mean, and this is another instance. So, like I told you, learned that a gay drag performer had all these misgivings. This thing that I had initially thought, if I were gay, I'd be thinking that too. Before that, I had told this to another female friend of mine who's like a super ally, and she just tore into me for like even for like yelling at me for even like thinking that. Like, why are, like, I just don't get why are we trying to bring drag and kids together? I don't get it.
Yeah.
It seems like that's going to invite blowback, and it seems like that's what, and I was just the devil for fucking. So there's this wing of just straight people who are super allies. And they react to any kind of just like me saying, I don't get it. I don't think this is a good idea with just ire.
Yeah.
And so there's that element in there as well.
I think that they're.
That's why I was so hesitant to even like fucking say some of this stuff.
I know. I'm like, it's going to get both of us in trouble. But I think that there are some people who think like drag is a really healthy, good thing for kids to be exposed to because we want kids to grow up not being transphobic and gender nonconforming phobic and whatnot. And so they think that this is like positive grooming, if you will, but like positive upbringing kind of things for kids. And you know, because I saw this story the other day where now Christian couples are being denied the ability to foster and adopt kids sometimes because if they won't subscribe to the idea that if their kid says that they're trans, they're definitely going to transition them. Or, you know, like this couple was asked about it. You know, they had gone through this whole intake, you know, this whole process of all the interviews and things. And when they got to the questions about LGBTQ stuff, you know, they said, well, you know, we are Christian. It is against our beliefs, you know, that like being gay is not the ideal. But, you know, if we had a kid and they got gay married, we would go to the wedding and whatnot. And they were like, okay. And then they were like, well, what if your kid's trans? And like, well, I mean, we're not really comfortable with a lot of that stuff. I mean, we would definitely, you know, seek out therapy and try to kind of figure out the best course of action. But because they wouldn't sign on to that they would transition their kid, they were denied adoption rights.
Seems to me they should just lie.
Right.
In that situation. Right. Like, what's the blowback from that?
Yeah, because it's against their religion.
To lie?
To deny their faith and stuff.
Oh, so that's like apostasy.
Yeah. And so, it's so ironic because, you know, when I was growing up, gay people really struggled to adopt kids because, that was seen as not good enough for kids. And now Christians are having trouble adopting kids. And I mean, a lot of the trans, I shouldn't just say trans, like a lot of the liberal people I know, like that made me friend or go, good. Fuck those Christians.
Yeah.
They are. It's child abuse to raise your kid Christian. Also,
this friend would say that.
Right. Yeah. And so if that's your mentality, yeah, I guess you do want your kids to go this. But I just think that in general, a lot of people on the left, a lot of the kind of like basically atheist liberal types don't understand all of the values in religion, don't understand that partly it's a fraternity and there's just social capital to be had when you have an organization, but also like, you know, having values and beliefs and community and meaning and purpose can also be good for kids. And maybe your kid just playing video games and being on Tumblr and watching porn isn't the best, you know, like I know I'm like kind of exaggerating, but it's not really, because it's kind of like, it's not the worst thing for kids to grow up in a Christian household. It's not the worst thing for kids to grow up with trans parents. Some people are going to take it too far in either way. But like the idea that we're going to, like, this country is supposed to have, if you're going to have separation of church and state, I mean, fucking all kinds of crazy people are allowed to have kids. All kinds of, I think we have enough kids who need to be fostered and adopted. We should probably, that's what we always said. Oh, you're going to deny these kids who need a home, these loving gay parents. You're going to deny them these loving Christian parents because they won't sign on to, like, we're definitely going to transition our kid the moment they say they are trans.
Yeah. That's, That's
we're living stupid. In the upside down. And I want people to see this for what it is and kind of realize, like, we all need to go back to the middle. Look, we did things way too one way for a while.
I think so.
We're way too the other way right now. Stop yelling at each other and realize everyone has some good points.
We certainly agree on that. And I think the 15% march on either side is a model that I probably would agree with. Yeah.
Yeah. That feels about right. Right. But I'm afraid we're losing numbers. Like, we might be down to 66% now. And, you know, and I think
people within those 15% do not know. They're in the bubble, like you said, and they don't know what most of the other people or what most of the rest of the country is like, even on their side nominally.
Or they think that they do. I mean, there are literally people on the right who believe that this should be a white Christian country.
Sure.
There are people literally on the left, and I know some of them, who believe that the whole country needs to be torn down and is irredeemable, and therefore the best thing that could happen for humanity is probably for all of us to die, but short of that, for this country to be taken down. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, I'm not really comfortable with that because I think that's going to lead to a lot of rape and murder and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that it's best if we can try to salvage this, or else we all just need to move to another country. But good luck. Maybe South America. Where can we keep away from the Russians and the Chinese? And
where would
have
they
a
be
good,
least interested in?
Right.
Canada, I think, right?
No, Canada sucks, dude.
Does it?
Dude, not only is it too cold, but Justin Trudeau has lost his mind.
It's not going to be too cold there.
Well, that's a good point.
It's going to be nice soon.
Yeah, I don't know. There are good parts and bad parts about Canada, but it's not my favorite.
I haven't spent enough time there.
Yeah. Anyway, what time is it? How are we doing on this? Oh, yeah, it's time. All right. Well, that certainly was a lot. It's always a love-hate relationship when people want to talk about gender on here. I'm like, all right, you want to talk about gender? Okay.
Yeah, I did not intend. I mean, the conversation goes where it goes, but I did not mean for it to spin directly into trans. So, I just want to say that I don't have any strong opinions about that. But
I
I do try to understand those issues as best I can.
Same. And if anybody who, whether they're trans or just thinks that I'm wrong about all kinds of stuff, would like to come on and talk to me about this stuff, I really will openly come on. I know it sounds like I talk one way with you, but also like when I'm talking to somebody with a different opinion, it does sound different. And I,
that's what I like about you. You'll have a conversation with anyone.
Yeah, I'll have a conversation with anyone.
You'll engage.
And I'll listen to
you. There's
so
many people just don't engage because they get furious.
Right. And I just, nothing really makes me furious. other than rape.
Yeah.
We should slit all those men's throats.
That's a settled issue, I think.
I would not, because there's a lot of male misbehavior that people don't categorize enough on. Here's my quick pitch to you before we leave. I think that since we can't really rely on the justice system to be punitive enough against rape, because women don't always report, they can't, it's hearsay, you know, whatever. So I think what should happen is if a woman comes to you, or a man comes to you and gives you a really credible story of something that a man did that was really fucked up, and you know her enough to believe her and whatever, and she's never been crazy, you know, like, but it's like a clear cut. I think you go get a few friends and you go beat the shit out of the guy.
I knew a woman in the 90s that happened to her, and her friends went and killed the dude.
Yeah, I don't know if we need to kill him. I'm not comfortable with killing. There's a part of me that thinks that's wonderful, but I really think you beat the shit out of the guy. Because I think if we made it really be a social taboo, but instead people don't want to talk about it, and people don't want to realize their guy friend who's helped them move 5 times really is capable of getting a woman drunk and then fucking her and not giving a shit whether she consented or not. There's a lot of that kind of rape still going on. And so that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or just women are asleep. I've been hearing stories about people in our own community who are literally just fucking people in their sleep.
Yeah. I know some shit too. But
maybe you should go beat that guy up.
I was tasked with it for a while, but then the order was rescinded.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, in an ideal world, yeah, to take care of that with some vigilante shit. But at the same time, you are arming women, certain women, with the ability to just get a guy beaten up.
Right, I agree. And so there's always, the thing has been way too far on the one side for a while. And that's why I'm saying probably don't kill them. But also, it can't just be this mob shit where some girl tells some story and then a game of telephone gets played. And now the story's way worse than it was originally. And now, she's seeming a little unstable, but we're all going to... No, but if it's a woman that you is mentally sound and it comes to you and says, like, this is what happened and whatever, and I talked to the guy about it, and it's not, I mean, I don't know where exactly the line should be, but it's not where it should, where it is now. But there should be
like
something.
Zero consequences.
Zero consequences is what there kind of is in most cases now. Yeah. And so I think there's a little bit of vigilante chivalrous justice that we could be doing. Again, you don't have to kill the guy. That's probably not right, you know, but. Beat the shit out of them and make men understand that other men are not okay with this.
And also, I mean, I know there is this that goes on, but warning letting other women know who the men are that they need to look out for, I think is an extremely important thing that has to happen within the female community.
Right. Yeah. And we do.
I mean,
that.
I want to know who these dudes are too. Yeah. But
the problem is sometimes, you know, women tell men and men are very dismissive of it and very much just justified. And sometimes women are too, because they don't want to think of themselves as victims or potential victims. So they start victim blaming and then they just don't take it seriously. And so, yeah, but that's something for another episode.
That's a whole different thing.
I think we solved enough of the world's problems today.
I think we did. I think we might have caused some for ourselves.
Yeah.
But it's just on the internet.
Yeah, no big deal. All right. Thanks, Mike. Do you want to plug anything?
You know what? I don't have anything right now to plug, so yeah, I'll just peace out.
You don't do social
media? You can follow me, Mike McRae, online on Instagram, MacRae.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thanks for having me on. This was fun.
Thank you.